This media has been presented to you by the Maryland Men of Faith, where men are challenged and encouraged to form the character of Christ. For more information, please visit mmof.org.
All right, guys, I'm going to get started. 3:15. First of all, thank you so much for being here. I hope we can have a good time. At the last one, we started just about like this, and then 5-10 minutes later, a bunch of other guys came. But we'll get started, okay? The first thing I want to try to fix, I kind of messed it up this morning, is just to say this. It is being said that a guy could be experiencing horrible things, you know, in life, failing in almost every area of his life. But if his wife seeks him in bed, if she affirms him sexually, this guy will feel like a hero. He will, you know, he'll feel like a champ. He will find a way of really working things through. On the other hand, a guy can be experiencing great things in life. He's loved by everybody else, success at work, at church, and everything else. But if his wife does not seek him sexually, if she, for whatever reason, doesn't make him feel that he's desirable, this guy will feel like a deep down, like a total failure. And as men, we'll try to seek this affirmation somewhere else in which sometimes you're not constructive. So what you usually hear is that, this is one of the things we hear, okay? I'm too tired, I've got a headache, I've got a backache, you know, I'm too exhausted, I don't have the time for right now. How can you even think about this right now when I have all of this going on? Here's some of the things we hear from our wives. And the reality is that if you were to ask a lot of men, most men will say they wish they could have more sex with their wives. More intimacy, right? They can have the sheets on fire, right? Sheets on fire, the chandelier is rocking, you know, whatever you want to say. Most men wish they could have them more often. So this is pretty much what we're going to talk about. But I remember this morning, I know none of us here have that problem, right? So I know you came in for a friend, right? All right, you're here for a friend, right? So write things down.
A real close friend.
You're going to help a brother out, right? So you can tell to the guy next to you here, I'm here for a friend, but I'm glad you're here. Guys, anybody, if you don't have a handout, anybody does not have a handout? Can you pass that in the back there also for Sydney? Thank you very much. So, you're here to help a brother out. Just remember this. Keep it focused, okay? We're here to help each other out, okay? So if you guys know about Maryland Men of Faith, it's a blessing. It's helping many men in different states here. But I just want to say that again. The seminar here is really not for you, but I know this audio will turn up somewhere else. Because I was asked about a seminar I gave. I had no idea when that was. And it was something about Maryland Men of Faith. I had no idea the seminar was there, which is fine. But for those who will be hearing this later somewhere else, you know, this has an audience in mind as men. We are, after all, at Maryland Men of Faith. If I was talking to women, the conversation would be very different. The tone, things I would say would be different, because it's just a different audience, okay?
You can give this speech to women.
No, well, I do talk to women in a different way too, okay? And you know what? I ran this through my wife though, you know? So, women may, I think women will mostly agree to what I'm going to say here. Because I'm getting things that women actually said. Okay, so one thing I want to bring out to you guys is this quickly, is that if you go to our website is, you can, two ways, theadventistfamily.com, very easy to remember, theadventistfamily.com, or makefamilycount.com. It's our website. We just have our course now. You can take our course online. This course is free of charge. You can download our modules there on PDFs. You can watch it with your wife. I will be uploading there are three lessons there on marriage. I'll be uploading more throughout the next weeks, but I'm just letting you guys know this is a free resource. It is just to be a blessing to help anybody out. You can take this course on our website, theadventistfamily.com, or makefamilycount.com. Download the free PDF. It's yours, free to use the way you want to do it. Okay? So anyways, the topic we'll be discussing today here is good in bed, overcoming man's deepest fears. It's misspelled there, my apologies, but the idea here is this, that most men would say that we fear rejection, we fear failure, and even more importantly, we fear rejection and failure by those whom we love the most. And that really boils down to our wives. And if our wives are rejecting us in what where we are the most vulnerable, sexually, that can really derail us. So we'll be looking at least seven reasons why we're not getting enough action at home. Is this going to fix all your problems? You're in the wrong seminar. but I hope this is going to help you out in a little bit. Okay? I hope we can get a little more action at home. You know that it can lit the sheets on fire. You know, I really hope this can, you know, it'll be a blessing. We'll be very respectful. We'll be saying a few things here about women and about us. I don't mean to offend anyone, but we're going to have a laugh together because you know what? That one of the best ways to talk about difficult topics is by laughing together. So,
sometimes you gotta laugh so you don't cry.
Exactly, right? If you have to choose, right, you better laugh, right? So let us pray, shall we? Father, in the name of Jesus, please bless us now. Help us not only understand in our minds, but in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Alright, so here the first reason, okay, the most often reason why we're not getting enough action is simply because she may have what everyone a lower sexual drive. That's it. As simple as it is. Women, generally speaking, have a lower sexual drive. I know it's not always the case. I had the chance once to engage in a situation in which the wife had far greater sexual drive than the guy. I mean, far greater, twice, three times a day. And some of you guys may think, oh, I wish that was my wife, you know? You don't want that, because you need some time to rest, to recover, okay? But yes, there are cases in which women have far more, but it is very, very rare. So here's the thing, okay? There are good news and bad news about it, okay? The good news is that your wife is not rejecting you. So your fear of being rejected, your fear of not being good enough anymore, your fear of, you know what, she doesn't want me anymore, that's not what it is. That's most likely not what it is. One of the main reasons is because they simply have what everyone, a lower sexual drive. The bad news is that they have a lower sexual drive. You know, you just have to deal with it, okay? And this is bad news, really bad news, but there are many books you guys can read about this. I can recommend at the end. But a really good book is called For Men Only by Shanti Feldman and Jeff Feldman. It's a couple. They write on this. And they did a survey of many women. And this is, they asked women, why do you think you want to have less sex than your husband? Or not as often. And 60% of women believe to have what? A lower sexual drive. They're not saying, oh, he's a disgusting pig. No. Just saying, you know what? I just don't want it as much. I just don't have the same urge. That's what they believe. Well, the fact is that they actually do. But here's the good news. So then they asked them a simple question. Okay, if you could change your sexual drive to at least match that of your husband's, would you? 82% of women said they would. If they could change their sexual drive to at least match that of their husbands, they would. They would gladly do so, but it is not that simple.
The spirit is willing,
but the flesh is weak, right? I like that. Absolutely, right? Researchers have discovered that the women seem... I love that one. the flesh is weak, right? Good one, Paul. I love that one. The reality is this.
Paul, you said my name on... Oh, man.
Paul.
You said my name on the recording.
I'm not asking. Let me call you Paul. Give Paul Gates.
No, last name.
I'm talking about Paul. I'm talking about Paul Gates. Paul Gates, right? Is it another Paul somewhere else, right? All right. So, all right. What did he say? All right. Researchers have discovered that the average woman simply has less testosterone. Just what it is. They have more estrogen. And testosterone is a sexually assertive hormone, basically, which means they'll have a lower urge to pursue sex. Okay? So, lower sexually assertive hormones equals to less cravings for sex. It sounds very basic, but we have to remember this. When we are the ones say, honey, come on, you know, trying to get more action, then it's just not there. I'll mention just a few more things here. It doesn't mean no cravings. It means just less cravings. And in some cases, a lot less than we ever anticipated. And there are at least two things that for us men, it's hard for us to grasp this, okay? One is social environment, the other one is post-marriage expectations. How many of you guys here are not married? Okay, not married, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, okay? 6. And how many of you guys have been married? Okay, I think the majority here has been married, right? And of course, those I know some of you can see by how many are married. Okay, first thing, social environment. The movie industry has shown, tried to portray in a way that women can be turned on just like that, just like a flip of a switch. You know what? Then whatever it is, if it is your deodorant or cologne or beer you drink, you know, women just get hot just like that. And they suddenly want to be all over you. The reality is this is just not what it is. Additionally, the porn industry, it's very unfortunate what I want to say here, but the chances are that the majority of us have been at least exposed to pornography. Exposed to pornography, okay? If you have not, don't waste your time. Okay, don't go there. It's not gonna contribute anything to your life. I can tell from personal experience. I did not always follow the Lord. I was an atheist once, and yes, I did watch it. If you did not, it's fine. Don't go there. But here's one thing: some of you guys will relate to. Usually in this industry, usually the women are really happy to be with the guy. You know, they're doing somersaults. You know, and all the screaming, all the noise making, you know, and all of that. And reality with your wife is just not going to be like this. There's almost nothing you can put into a pornographic industry. You can't even bring into marriage. It's just pornography is dirty, and the women there screaming and all those things, they're being paid to do that. Okay, so don't want to pay your wife, right? But don't want to pay your wife, but it can't be compared. Okay, it's just not there. But here's something very interesting. In the porn industry, usually the women is the one seeking the guy. The guy's like, oh, here I am. Oh, you want me? Oh, you know, it's usually the women coming after the guy. And you guys are laughing. But that's just, you guys, but you know that's what it is. Okay? And that is highly addictive to guys. Because naturally we want to be pursued. We are the chasers. We're the chasers. We're going after women, but only want to be desired by women. That's why how the industry portrays a guy, women falling off their feet for them or whatever, going after them. And this is highly addictive. And that's what hooks men into. Because let me show you some of the, on the quotes here. There's a research done called The Lights of 10th Street, okay? And discovered that a chronic feeling in men of not measuring up, okay? And for whatever reason, when they watch a pornographic movie or whatever, they feel like, you know what, now I can feel like a real man. And I told you, no, I was exposed to that. And it is very addictive to guys. Because it's just like you showing up into a playground with an ice cream truck. It will be noticed. If you have any video, anything, any sort of thing that shows that women are just falling all over a guy, this will attract us because deep down we want to be that guy that women are falling for. And this is one of the things that the guy said, okay? All these women in men's magazine and porn sites convey one message. I want and you are the most desirable man in the world. Look, this is the reality. My wife may be nagging me at home, The kids may be disobedient. I may be worried about messing up at work, but looking at the woman in that picture or that video makes me feel like what? A real man. And this is very important for us to understand. So when we compare our wives to that sort of thing, we can never meet our expectations. If you watch a Superman movie, he's lifting up a Golden Gate Bridge, you know, and now you're not going to try to do it, right? But we see those women, you know, really, really happy to be with a guy, you know, and all that screaming and everything else. We somehow transfer that. And if our wives are not as happy, we just think we are not good enough or they are not enjoying as much. So it is a huge problem for us to do this. The second thing is this, is post-marriage expectations. And for how many of you guys are single, like you've never been married? Okay, single. We had a younger ones here later, but I'm going to just tell you guys this. You know, if you think all that fire, all that flame you have with a little girlfriend now, it's going to last forever, it's not. It's not that flame, that fire will be put out soon enough, you know, after, I don't know how long you've been married, you know, that flame, that intense thing is going to go down. And it is good that you want to be faithful. It is good that you don't want to fall into temptation. But take this to the bank. The devil will do everything in his power to what, everyone? Cause you to have sex before marriage and keep you from having sex after marriage. Take this to the bank. Take this to the bank. This is very serious. Because if you think, you know what, well, my fiance and I, you know, we really got to pray to God to cool things off because, you know, we are always really, it's hot in here, you know, that flame is going to go down eventually. And then you would be caught by surprise. You would be knocked out without ever even seeing it. So the surprising good news is this, okay? It boils down to the fact that there are actually two types of two types of sexual desires, okay? One is assertive desire, the other one is receptive desire. Testosterone, which is more predominant in men, is associated with assertive desire. Estrogen, which is more present in women, is associated with receptive desire. So what does that mean? Let me just put this here. So receptive does not necessarily mean passive, but available and perhaps willing, but without the initiative to pursue sex. This is the reason why, generally speaking, women don't have the urge to pursue sex. That's why a lot of guys say, you know what, why do I have to be always the one to initiate? Why do I have to get it started? Don't you like me anymore? Don't I look sexy? What is it? What have I done? Why is it that you just... Why am I always the one getting started? Well, initially, it's not because she does not like you. It's not because she's not enjoying it primarily. We're going to look into this. But it's most likely that she has just receptive sexual desire. She has more estrogen, and these hormones are associated with being receptive more than assertive. So what about boils down to us as guys? We always have to chase our wives. The chase does not end when we say, I do. We got to continue chasing them in a positive way. We'll see, you know, we don't want to push it, but chase them. we'll talk about it. Wait for that. But what can we do about it? So if we know at this point it's nothing about you, nothing about me, it's with them, you know, it's just hormonal. What can you do about it? Number one, you have to accept it. You just can't fly without an airplane or device. It's just what it is. Your wives, my wife, our women are wired differently. You just have to accept that and know that you most likely have to pursue it most of the times. Now, you can also have a conversation about it. You can say, no, sweetheart, you know, I love you, you know, all of this. I think you're the sexiest thing I ever saw. It would just mean sometimes, you know, a lot to me if you get started. You know what? We're looking for this. He may not even have crossed her mind yet. Maybe she's not even thinking about it. And maybe she thinks everything is fine because, you know, she enjoys it. Once you get it, oh, we have a hard time understanding this. Well, last night you were enjoying it. You were asking for more. But today you don't have any more. Why is it? No, why don't you want to get started? Why are we sitting there? Yeah. But the thing, so we just don't understand that. Why is it? Because women just want, they want to be chased. It's just one of those things. They just want to be chased. So what is the first, what is the takeaway from the first part that we took a little longer to explain is this, that it's just that it simply is because they have a lower sexual drive. At this point, while we're talking about, it is not about you. She's not rejecting you. She's not not enjoying you. No, at this point, it's just because they are wired differently. Let's come back here. We got a lot of ground to cover. The second thing is this, and for us, we don't. This is really never crossed our minds, is that she may not be comfortable with her looks. Now, take it to the bank. If she doesn't feel good, she won't be in the mood. Okay, if she's not if she looks at herself in the mirror, she doesn't like what she sees, you know what, she will not feel like, you know, sexual appeal anymore. Not as often. That's why a lot of women like to have sex in the dark. You know it. It is not because she does not want to see you, it's because she does not want to be seen. It's because women are not just as visual as we are. We'll see they are a little bit, but not as much. But they want touch, they want smell, they want to hear what you have to say. So if she's not looking at herself, you know, and not enjoying what she sees, she will not have the same appeal as a healthy woman would say. And this happened to like married women. They said, no, I'm too ugly, I'm undesirable. So if you, as my husband says, you desire me, you're lying to my face. This can't be true. And they stop really believing you, and you're lying to them when you're just being honest. You love them, you want to make love to them, but it is an internal battle. And society pressure is relentless on this, right? They see all the models and the way they look and how skinny they are or how beautiful they are, whatever. And we have our wives, many of them sometimes have a part-time job or a full-time job, kids at home. By the time the guy gets home, you know, he wants his happy hour, you know, she's being puked at, sped at, the cat scratched her, the dog barked at her, the house is a mess. No, her hair is horrible, she's smelling, and she will not feel in the mood because she doesn't feel she is desirable. She doesn't feel she is desirable. And it's, again, it's nothing to do with you, no, I just gained some extra pounds, it's just with her. So women today, more than 20, 30 years ago, they're juggling with a whole lot more in their hands, a lot more. So what can you do about it? Well, remember this, the devil will tell your wife 100 times a day they're not good enough. Either in bed or at work or at home with the kids, with the house. What can we do to help? Reaffirm them, absolutely, right? If they're not feeling good about themselves, we have to be the ones bringing out good out of them. You know what? You know what? The Bible says that we are the salt of the earth. The salt brings out the
flavor.
So even when they're thinking that they're bland, they don't have anything else, we have to make, you know what, babes, you know what? Babe, I really appreciate how much you take care of the house, or how well you cook. I appreciate you doing well at your job. I appreciate you with the kids. I just love the way you look. Or you just say, you know what, this dress is not doing justice to your beauty today. You know what? You know, because the wife is going to dress up and say, how do I look? And sometimes it's not looking good. It's not because they don't look good. It's because the dress, that shoe combination, whatever, just the... So this shoes is not, you know, don't say that. But when you say, you know what? Yeah, it's just, you know what? This is not doing justice to your beauty. You know, there are many different ways you can say you can uplift your wife. Guys, no one else is in the place, in the opportunity that we have to uplift our wives to the glory of God. So, and they're going to be bombarded by the devil day after day to tell them they're not good enough. They don't look good. They watch women on the news. They watch the weather girl. They always look great, and they're not nowhere near compared to them. We have to be the ones uplifting them.
Guys, I just wanted to confirm that, you know, that when the scripture says, husband, love your wife, it's not an opinion or suggestion. It's a command.
It is, yes, absolutely. As Christ loved the church.
And it took me a long time to understand that, but when the Lord directed my vision, to the book of Hosea at one time
yes.
in my life.
Yes, with Gomer.
I said, Lord, I don't know what you're trying to tell me, but I begin to understand he means unconditional love.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
And I said, Lord, well, I can't deliver that, Lord. He said, I'll give you whatever you need. Mm-hmm. And when I begin to get that, you know, I begin to understand that's transformative.
Amen.
Just very quickly, not just a burden, but also helping. I mean,
absolutely.
It depends how you divide the labor in your home. But if your wife does more than her share, help the lady, for goodness sake.
There you go.
Compassionate. I'm sure that's not going to hurt either, later on in the evening.
Sure, absolutely, right? Sometimes by making her a day, she can make you a night, right? She'll make you or not, so it is really helping out, because they're not feeling good about themselves, but we'll definitely talk about this as well. So again, what is the takeaway lesson from point number two, okay, is this: it's not about you, it's not she's rejecting you, it's not that you're failure in bed or at home, it's just, it's just the way things are. The wife needs to feel good to be in that mood. Always, if it doesn't feel good about herself, she won't be in the mood. Reason number three, she may be dealing with health or emotional issues. And then here comes a lot of things. Medications, hormonal imbalances, chronic pains. There are just a roster of things we can be really talking about. But if a wife is suffering from chronic back pain, and every time she has sex, she'll suffer from back pain for 3 or 4 days, 5 days a week, having sex or the thought of having sex, it'll be painful. She's not gonna want to do it. Again, it's not about you, but it's something that needs to be addressed, right? With professional help and all of different things. It is not that she's rejecting you. Emotional issues. Many women think unconsciously, the sex is dirty. The sex is just dirty. It is filthy. It was a taboo at home. Nobody really talked about it, and somehow they still think it's just a taboo. By the way, if you guys have questions, you can always ask, okay? But women can be dealing with guilt. How is guilt in marriage when it comes to sex? You know what? I'm not meeting my husband's needs. I'm not meeting his needs, so I got to do it. And they do out of sense of guilt, out of sense of duty, rather than, I just love my husband. I want to have connection. This may work a little sometimes here and there, but for the long run, it will destroy you. If she's asking out of shame, what if they find out? What if the church finds out that, I'm not showing up for my husband? Now, she out of shame, she has a behavior. But again, this may work here and there, but this is not long lasting. Or out of anger. He keeps coming after me, pushing. So I'm angry, I'm upset, I want to go to sleep, so I might as well give up. Because it's not going to stop. And then she doesn't tell you that, but she's there physically, but not emotionally. You have what you want in a sense, but she never gets what she wants. So all of those issues are going through her mind. It is good to find out. And how do you do this? A natural conversation. Honey, what is going on? No, I'm not here to judge you. I just want to hear. It's really just really talking about this. And here's the thing. If a woman keeps not telling you about this, she's having sex with you, but she does not want it. It's out of shame, out of guilt, out of anger, or whatever other feeling it is. These will become repressed emotions, repressed feelings. And dealing with repressed emotions and feelings, it becomes a little more complicated. In the long run, it can really, really cause you greater harm to your relationship. If your wife has been abused sexually as a child or any other age of her life, she will also have negative thoughts towards sexuality. Okay? It's just going to happen. So you have, and those things are workable. There is hope. Yes, you can work through this. But both of you just need some professional help. Because just the two of you there in your bedroom trying to work things out, you can do everything you want to do to make things easier for her to enjoy it. But there's a switch in her mind that needs to be changed. Okay?
I was just going to ask very briefly, but I would imagine everything you just mentioned, that's I would imagine that's strongly dependent on how much you're willing to communicate that, right? Because if you don't mention it to begin with, then how could you possibly know?
Yes.
There are some hints, I get it, like physical hints that you can see, you know, but you can't always detect everything.
No, you can't, yeah. It really takes professional help. There are some things that are like red flags, in a sense, that help you understand. You know what? It is very common for couples after they have sexual intercourse, they want to have shower for fluid or just personal hygiene or whatever. But there are people, women and sometimes guys as well, they need to have shower because they feel dirty. It's not about because they're sweaty or they're fluid. They just feel dirty. They just feel dirty. And you need to have a shower for consciously to feel I'm clean now. I've just done something dirty. Not just physically dirty, but spiritually dirty. I need to be clean. So there's a lot of them. There are many other things we can go on in this. But the point is that if you and your wife, and she's having health issues, if she just had a baby, you know, just give it a break, you know. just give some time, right? If she's having a headache, whatever, we know that it is a common excuse we hear, but we gotta be sensitive to this. And sometimes being sensitive today can pay high dividends tomorrow. Okay? So it's about having vision, you know, being patient. be patient, you know, be a visionary, you know, see through the things and just really hope that the whatever issue she's dealing with now will pass, and then you guys will come to a better place. Go on.
Just getting back to number three.
Sure.
Yeah, I really appreciate the theme of having compassion and empathy and trying to really understand the challenges that they have. Additionally, you know, we have to look at ourselves, at our sexual trauma.
Sure.
Whether or not we've been sexually abused or we've had a distorted understanding of sexual or even emotional intimacy. Because if we don't start looking at our own sexual ideas, trauma, attitudes, perception, whatever, it's absolutely going to transfer to our dynamic, our sexual relationship. So I just want to throw that out there when we're on that emotional.
Thank you.
No, man, the problem is her, not us.
we're coming to that, okay? But absolutely, okay? The way, I was talking about how we interact with them, but yes. One of the things the devil will try to do, one of the easiest way to destroy a man is sexually. That's one of the easiest way, you know? The most often temptations for a man, it's either money, power, prestige, whatever, and sexuality with other women, you know, generally speaking. So absolutely, it is a constant check.
And I think, sir, it's one of the hardest things a man can do is to look at his sexual vulnerabilities.
Yeah.
And those sexual holes that some of us have from childhood.
Yeah.
Even if you weren't sexually abused, just the notions and images that you grow up with about sex from your parents. But the real hard ones are the ones where you were raped, or you were diddled,
yes,
or molested, or whatever the hell word you want to use.
Mm-hmm.
So hard to look at that, and that absolutely impacts your sexual.
Absolutely, and it transfers. It transfers through fear, through anger, through many, many different ways. Absolutely, 100%. Yeah, thank you for the thought. Fourth thing here, and again, all of these things you can take to the bank. But when she is under stress, sex is what, everyone? The last thing on her mind. So you finishing up today here, going home, you thinking she's thinking about having sex? She's not. Let me just break this down to you. Your wife, most likely she's not thinking about sex. Right now, she's not. It is the last thing on her mind. And women are too sensitive to hindrances, far more than we are. Any little interruption, any little thing here, it's just really gonna get into their minds. You know what? Guys are like this. We can use sex to do what?
Relieve
stress. Women, the thought of sex can what? Can be a cause of stress. So you know when you feel the tension building, you know, you can feel it, you know, you're getting tense, you know, and you're starting looking at ladies and they all look good, you know, it's like, I gotta meet my wife, you know, I gotta be my wife, you know, and she's tired or whatever, and days go by, you're not releasing the tension, you know, you build up, you use sex to relieve stress. Women don't. Just, they cannot be stressed out at the moment to have sex. A guy can easily have sex stressed out. Prolonged periods of stress can call ED, of course, erectile dysfunction, but as a rule of thumb, we can use sex as just to relieve stress. Women can't. So let me talk about this one here, okay? For guys, this is what a woman said on the in the surveys to the book Men Only, okay? For guys, it seems sex provides relief for escape from exhaustion. Excuse me. For women, we have to pull ourselves out of exhaustion in order to want to have sex. Generally speaking, you guys could have traveled. You drove, I don't know, 24 hours on that day. You exhausted. If your wife says, "Megs, you're gonna have some action," you might say, "Yeah, I want." You know, if she's the one tired, she'll say, "Well, just go to sleep. No, we'll talk tomorrow."
I'm so bad with
guys. Right? It is hard. They're just wired differently. Just, and let me tell you about this. There's something else also about the brain, the Lord made our brains. And in the study guide there, you can write down. There are just some little blanks there for you to fill out, okay? A man's brain is just like this old computer, okay, with low memory and low storage. This is a man's computer, all right? And in this computer, not a whole lot of storage, very, very low memory, so we have a folder for every single little thing. I have a folder for the house, a folder for the car, a folder for food, a folder for the kids, a folder for church, for Jesus, for the Bible. So if I'm here, I'm working the folder of the house. Before I can even think about the folder of the wife, I need to do what? I need to close the switch. Close that folder.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Close that folder, right? You can't open two folders at the same time. You have to reboot it if it does, right? You close the folder, and now you go to the folder of the wife.
Yep.
Right, and you work with the photo of the wife, you know. And then when you photo of the spot, right, you gotta do what? You gotta close that folder, and you go to put that one. So it's just what old computer. No, it's slow, low storage, low memory. Women, however, is just like this supercomputer with high storage. They can remember things 20 years ago, and very high memory. Now they don't have one folder for everything. They just have like one big folder and everything's thrown in there. Picture of the kids. Have you guys tried to find things in a woman's purse?
It's chaos.
Every time my wife says, "Can you get in my purse?" I don't. You know, I don't. I just give up. They are like, "Why? Well, everything is in there." I just give up. Take the purse. You find it. It is a woman's brain. The guy, because of kids there, the family, the in-laws, her siblings there, the kid, you. No, everything is interconnected. Everything. That's why you can be sweetheart. So where are we gonna go for lunch, you know, next week for our date night or dinner? And you're talking, and suddenly she says, "You know what? Yeah, but you know what? The Joneses are coming for Sabbath lunch." And you go like, "Hang on a minute. Are we talking about our lunch for dating?" And you turn, "Yeah, but everything is connected for women." And in this super fast computer, you're going to find a little tiny folder in there, like a file, not a folder, a file in there, okay, called sex. Sometimes you have to do that word search for it, right? Or you find it in the trash, you know? She had to delete it to use something else, and she'll upload it again, you know, eventually, you know? But in the meantime, it's in the trash, so you have to find it. This is how our brains are. What does that mean? It means that for us to have a sexual intimacy with our wives, you know, you could have just lost your job. You just failed at work, you know, or whatever. And you just turn it off for a little bit and you get to enjoy sex with your wife, you love it good, you know what? Your wife just can't turn them off like this. So she's thinking about, you know, the kids know it because, you know, Johnny broke his finger. She's thinking about her mom who is sick over there. She's thinking about her father who wants to come for Christmas. The kitchen is dirty. The floor of the bathroom is knocking. She's thinking about everything else at the same time. Just like this. Now, it's like the computer with like multiple monitors and notifications, you know, and pop-ups here and there. That's the brain of a woman. And for her to be able to shut everything off, she needs to connect with you on an intimate level. She needs to connect with you on an emotional level. If you do not connect with her emotionally, listening, engaging, and being together, she will not be able to turn all those things off.
It's romance.
Yes. It's a good old romance. It should not have the energy to have intimacy with you if you don't work through those things. Absolutely. So what that means is this, guys. You know, if how many of your wives like to be good hostess? You know, like have birthday parties coming, whatever. And when are you going to have a birthday party coming, you know, and have lots of people? She want to be a good hostess, you know, welcome people. She'll have a whole lot in her mind. The only way you can have happy hour if you really help a whole lot. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're not. It's just not going to work. It's going to be on her mind when you're traveling, whatever. Then the first thing you will be thinking, when are we going to have sex again? She's not even thinking about it. It hasn't even crossed her mind because she has too many things. So when women are under a lot of stress, they really don't even think about it. So what can you help it? How can you help it? You have to accept it. Help out to alleviate, you know, I think you mentioned, right, Paul? Just help out.
Yeah, I sit down with her.
Yes. By the way, Paul just said it. Yeah. So, and guys, the idea is this. Okay, one of the greatest things that you can do to really help your wife to get in the mood is a clean kitchen, a clean bathroom, things put in place. Those things, they work better than a six pack. Okay.
Huh? That's when we had kids.
Take care of this stuff, yeah. But my kids are too little for that, so I gotta do some laps around the house before that time. Anyways, number five, and now we begin talking about what things that we do directly the affects women a lot. Okay, take it to the bank. Everybody with me? 1, 2, 3. The more you push it, the more you lose it. You have to be very sensitive about it. If you know, it's been a while. I don't know, 2 weeks, whatever, 3 weeks, you name it, whatever. If you come to your wife and says, honey, it's been a while. It's been a while, sweetheart. You know what? This is not going to... It is not... It's going to be a train wreck. I'm telling you right now. It's a train wreck. It's not going to work. Okay? It's just not going to work. We have to be sensitive. Did you have a...
One author I read said that women require 4 to 6 non-sexual hugs per day.
Yeah, I think that's great. Yeah, it's the language of romance, as Zeph mentioned. You know, at least, right? So if you want to push it, you know, because here's the thing: when you push it, almost every time we tell our wives we're not having enough sex in these words, in this way, they do what? Take it personally. They think we are attacking them. They think we are what, everyone? Blaming them. They think we're saying they are not good enough. Just think about this. Imagine if your wife, twice or three times a week at least, she would tell you that you're not bringing enough money home. How would you feel? Right. Not probably not very good. If you think, are you attacking me? Why? Am I not? We have everything we want. What do you mean I'm not bringing enough? How much is enough? So they're asking the same things because we are talking what where they're most vulnerable, okay? How they look, how they are. So they get this defensive here. So what can you do to help on this? Because ultimately you guys want to connect sexually, okay? A guy needs to connect sexually to truly connect emotionally in many cases. The wife is the opposite. They need to connect emotionally to connect sexually. So, but since God has given us the role of being priests of the homes, we are responsible for our homes. We have to be the ones that take the higher role. We have to be the humble ones that say, you know what? I need to meet the needs of my wife. God told us that men shall love their wives as what?
Christ
loves the church. So we really have to be the ones that will go out of bounds here. Of course, I talk to women as well about respect towards men. It's a whole different conversation. But our role is to love them. And by loving them, we will connect with them. So rule number one, don't push it. The more you push it, remember that. So you cannot just hit the target. You got to go around. You got to be sensitive. You got to be kind. You know, 4 to 6 hugs, at least non-sexual hugs. You got to hold their hands. You got to tell them how beautiful they look even in the morning. You know, a romance. You can wake up and tell them, you know what, sweetheart, I'm so blessed I woke up next to you this morning. Many guys will wish you would do the same. I know this because you were great. So learn the language. If you don't have like a whole lot of creativity what to say, just Google it. There's a lot of things on Google. No, but of course, be truthful.
Trust me, it works.
It makes difference. Yeah. Find out what works for your wife and do it. Okay? This is misspelled here. So your looks may not turn them off. Excuse me. Your looks may not turn them on, but it can surely turn them off. Okay? What I'm saying with this is that women are not necessarily attracted to the way you look, but it can surely be turned off by the way you look, in a sense, or the way you present yourself. You know, for instance, the smell for women. The sense of smell for women is more sensitive than men. If you don't brush your teeth, they don't have showers very often, like at least daily. You know what? You're not helping yourself out, buddy. I'm just going to say, you know, don't need to raise your hand here. You know, that's me. Don't do it. But it's just the reality, you know. I've heard of guys who are using underwear from their honeymoon as a lucky charm, you know. I'm just going to tell you that white thing makes you look like you're wearing diapers, you know. It's not going to be the best thing. Okay, remember, your looks may not turn them on, but it can surely what? Turn them off. All right, very, very off. It is like salvation. There's nothing you can do to be saved, but there's a whole lot you can do to be lost. All right, salvation is free. It's given His grace, but boy, you can waste it. Okay, same thing. Your looks might not be what is turning them on, but you can surely turn them off. So just take care of yourself. You don't need to be a potato couch, you know, and looking bad or whatever. If you want to buy PJs, make sure you look good to your wife. Just make sure if you're going to go out on a date, dress as if you're meeting her for the very first time. Yeah. Really put some effort into it. And she will really like, wow, I appreciate this, you know. Women can be attracted to a guy who's nicely dressed, looking good. That's not what turns them on again, but it helps. It helps, you know. Absolutely, come on. Whatever works, do it. But you know, wearing those wearing underwear with holes, you know, and all of this, a t-shirt with holes and whatever stains, whatever, guys. Anyways, we gotta wrap this up here, guys. Let me say this. And last but not least, this is just a reality. She may not really be enjoying it a whole lot. And there are many reasons for this. But you know what? One is that we're pushing it too much. So it's out of shame, guilt, anger, fear, whatever. They may not always be getting there. You know, imagine like, you know, if you always have sexual intercourse and your wife never really gets there, she will feel like she's being left out. And naturally speaking, women, it's more difficult for them to have orgasm than men. You know, for men, it doesn't take a whole lot, right? We know this, but for women, it's just different. It takes a whole lot. Let me put it like this, okay? Have any of you guys have like a brick oven pizza?
It's the best
one, right? Come on, like brick oven pizza, sign me up, okay? Does anyone know how long it takes for a brick oven to heat up to the right temperature? Huh?
I think like 12 hours.
No, 45 to 60 minutes. But you have to put wood in there. Yeah, I mean you have to be there, okay? You're putting wood, you're watching the fire. It takes almost 1 hour, depending on the one that you have, to come to 800 Fahrenheit. And when you get there, you can cook a pizza in 90 seconds. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Dan.
In trouble as a man, I'll tell you why. Okay. How do we get the message that you're giving us today? This is valuable. But none of us here are 15, 16 years old. I'll never forget, my father said to me at 16, son, when it comes to a woman, and I'm a musician, I play trombone, he says, it's like a violin. He He goes, you wouldn't pick a violin up and just play it. He goes, you're going to take time to warm it up. Guess what I got from that? I don't play the violin. I play the trombone. Okay, so I'm thinking, I don't know the difference. So you see the problem we have is, man, this is valuable, right? But what happens?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I hope you guys can share the news with your friends, right? And I know, remember, you're coming for a friend, right? Just share with your friend, but bear with me.
I
like the violin, right? You gotta be gentle. But remember, hang on a second, Seth. Here's the thing, okay? It takes almost an hour to warm up.
Yeah.
And it takes almost twice as long to cool down. It takes a long to warm up, a lot to cool down, but when it's hot, you can make pizzas in 90 seconds.
Yep.
Can be quick, you enjoy nice, delicious pizza. A guy, they're like the microwave. In 2 minutes, you have a hot meal. It tastes like meh, right? And it's just as, it cools down just as fast as you heat up. And we go into sex at night, you know, babes, it's 9:30, 10 p.m. in the morning. We go into the microwave mentality when she's going with the brick oven mentality. She needs time to
warm up
and heat up, right? And then she take time to us to work to the what to cool down. If she doesn't get there, it will take some time for her to cool. And then she will turn to her side, you know, and be wondering, like, you know, what did I do wrong, you know? But we're just like the microwave. 2 minutes, you have a hot meal, and then some of us eat in 2 minutes. And the thing is...
Go to the Song of Solomon. Read the Song of Solomon.
Which one?
What?
The whole book?
I mean, how he went through with his beloved.
Yes, yes.
He had a warm up.
Yes.
And this has been lasted all night.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, the scripture says, and I'm seriously following,
mm-hmm.
Husband, love your wives.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Read the book of Hosea. I'm telling you, you know, as a professional, you know, my graduate book comes in psychology, addictionology, but also as a husband.
Amen.
Then the Lord says, husband, love your wives. Go to the book of the Sons of Solomon. See how he was patient.
Amen.
Children, learn from God's wisdom.
Amen. There's a lot in there. Guys, the great news is this. Great sex is start with what? Connecting to your wife outside of the bedroom. When do you begin warming the brick oven?
Do the dishes.
Yes, absolutely. But when does the brick oven begins warming up? In the morning when you wake up.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you begin warming. It's not just what you do inside the bedroom. It's mostly what you do outside of the bedroom. The inside the bedroom thing, you know what, really, it may be trickier parts, but some techniques, different things can really long go a long way. But the emotional connection before, connecting, looking to the eye, sending her a text now, before you guys go home, you know, well, sweetheart, I miss you, I love you, I just wanted to know that you were the most amazing thing I ever saw in my life. You know what, there's a lot you can do, but again, great sex starts with connecting, outside of your bed. Guys, we're wrapping this up here. In this book here, again, they're asking, you know, women, what can men do that will really help out to be more inclined to have sexual intercourse? 73% said it's very helpful to do what? Maintain or increase his levels of emotional attention to me. She's not saying to have a six-pack. She's not saying, oh, I go to the gym every day. No. Emotional attention. Dan?
And if you like pizza in the morning, what's the right approach?
Make sure you warm up. Be a visionary. You warm up at night, you know, you warm up next day, the day before, whatever. Just you know, make sure you prepare. If you want the oven steaming hot, you know, by 8 a.m., you got to warm up before, you know.
and many of the times, you say, I'm exhausted after you've done the work. You have to do the work.
Yeah.
You know, do the groceries, you know, help out with the kids. Sometimes you come at night and she just takes something off and there's nothing on today.
Amen, right?
You've done the work.
You've done the work, brother. You've done the work.
Happy man.
Yeah. The guy, look. Let's wrap it up. Here, create a context where often where he often shows me little gestures of love throughout the day. 71% of women responded that little gestures, doing the groceries, saying like love letters or cards or text messages. It really, really made a difference. Take a picture there. Look, engaging in caring, listening, and conversation regularly. 67% of women responded that. We just talked about, okay, Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And last but not least, so what? How are we going to overcome this fear of being inadequate, a failure in bed and home? Well, we saw four things directly have to do with women per se, is this we have to accept and help out around. Three things that we looked into ourselves, but if you forget everything I've said, it boils down to this, okay? We must become the guys we wished our daughters would marry. I was going to say, you know, we would...
There's no sex at all.
Yeah. Good one. Good one, right? Yeah. She's two, right? And I think about it, you know, I want to create like a club, you know, the shotgun, angry father shotgun club or something like that, right?
I just told my wife, this girl can get all she wants after she's married.
After she's married, amen, right? It makes sense, yeah. My daughter has a little onesie, says, you know what, never allowed to date ever, or something like that. But guys, the reality is this, okay? I was going to put it in a different way. I was going to put it in a way, you know what? You have to, the question is, would you be willing to marry yourself? But some of us would not really make a whole lot of sense. But really, you know what? The reality is that we know that soon or later our daughters will go away. They will marry someone else. And we have to become the guys we wish they would marry. Mm-hmm. You know, if as fathers, if those who have daughters know, we put so much energy towards our daughters and we're caring, we're tender, we're gentle with them. If we were half as gentle to our wives as we're to our daughters, our wives would be a lot happier, and we'd probably have a whole lot more action at home. Amen. You know, so just think about it. You know, as you're going home today, driving or text your wife, whatever, make sure we treat them as we wish our daughters were being treated by someone else. This really makes a difference. I hope, guys, this was a blessing to you. Thank you, guys. You're a great group here. Thank you. Cindy, I'm going to say a prayer. I'm going to take a picture. We go Cindy and then Stephen, right?
I got two things you should never forget. Never forget the day you met. Yeah. Never forget a birthday.
Amen.
Or your anniversary.
Amen, yeah.
Why did you bring them flowers home? You're up to something.
Yeah.
You did something. What are you doing? What are you doing now?
Yeah. Better not. Stephen.
Is there any way we can get copies of your slides?
Unfortunately, the slides I can't because of copyrights for the images. I pay for the images, so I can't. But most things are in the most bullet points are here, and you can listen to the message again and just write down more points. You know, if there are no images, I could easily share them, but because of them, I can't. Okay, guys, let me say a prayer. I'm gonna take a picture with you guys. Thank you so much for your time. I truly appreciate it. I hope were you guys blessed.
Amen.
Right? I'm so happy for this. I hope it was somewhat helpful in any way. And don't forget to share with your friend who came for. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you so much for this great group of men. Lord, we love you. And we want to have a greater connection with our wives, not just sexually, but really know them and love them like you called us to. But Lord, also, for us, it's important to have this sexual connection with them. So we just pray you bless our homes, bless our bedrooms, bless our relationships, and help us to honor our wives and love them as Jesus Christ the Lord loved the church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We hope this presentation from the Maryland Men of Faith has been a blessing to you. Your feedback is welcomed. Please visit us at mmof.org.